The first message that I gave on the forgotten virtues was about honor and how we've fallen away from honoring people in our society. Then we talked about purity. And last week, we talked about loyalty and what that means. And what's so sad is a lot of time with loyalty, the first thing that comes to a lot of people's minds is an animal instead of a person. And then this week, well, actually next week, we're going to talk about something that has long since been forgotten, and it's kind of sad because we're in a society in which we have this expectation that I can get whatever I want, and it's all about me, and it's all about me. And we forget how important it is to have gratitude. Well, this morning, we're going to be talking about integrity. And integrity is, to me, probably one of the most important virtues that we as humans can have, because apart from integrity, you know what happens? We don't have integrity. So integrity is very, very important. It's important on so many different levels. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you reveal yourself to all of us through your scriptures and through this message. Lord, may the words that I speak and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer. Amen. Can everybody say integrity?
Integrity.
No, really. Can everybody say integrity?
Integrity.
Some people don't even want it to come from their lips. Integrity. It's a tough word because so often we forget that integrity is essential in our life, in our development, and our progression in our faith. And we compromise integrity all over the place. And a lot of times we don't even realize we're compromising. I want to tell you a story. I went into this convenience store, and I purchased something. And I, took out my cash, and I paid with cash, and I got money back. I went to the car, and I started sorting through. I'm like, whoa! I realized there's an extra $10 bill in there when there should have been a one. And for some reason, there was a 10 instead of a one. And I go, Lord, thanks for blessing me. And then I go, wait a minute. What am I doing? No. That's not the right way to think, right? And I don't know how many of you have ever been in that situation. Maybe you got 25 cents back. Maybe you got a few dollars back. I don't know. But it can be a compromising situation because nobody's going to find out, right? Well, what I did, I went back in and I told the girl behind the desk, I said, behind the counter, I said, you know what? You gave me too much change back. And she said, what? And I said, you gave me too much change back. You weren't supposed to give me all this change. And I handed the money back to her. And her reaction was totally different than anything I would have thought. Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! Thank you so much! Oh, thank you so much! That you don't even know how much this means to me. Thank you! Thank you! And I'm like, you're welcome. And she goes, no, really, thank you. And I go, you're welcome. No, you don't understand. Thank you. I said, you're welcome. And she said, thank you. I got to explain to you why I'm so thankful. She said, the first time I did this, my boss told me if it happens again, that it would come from my paycheck. And then it happened again. And it came from my paycheck. And he told me the next time that happens, you're going to lose your job. And I'm going to fire you right on the spot. And she said, this was the next time. She said, I have a little baby at home that I'm trying to take care of, I'm trying to raise. I don't have a good education, so this is one of the only jobs I could get. And she started tearing up, and she said, thank you, thank you. And there's somebody behind me in line. And she said, can I hug you? I go, I guess. And she ran around the counter, and she gave me a hug, crying, and went back around the counter. It's sad that in our society, integrity is looked at as something that hardly ever happens. But when someone doesn't have integrity, it's kind of like, ah, that's normal. That's normal. That happens all the time. Someone takes the money, yeah, that happens all the time. But when we do what's right, and what's right in God's eyes, and what's maybe not right in a lot of humans' eyes, but what's right and true, powerful things can happen. Who would have thought just bringing back a few dollars could potentially change somebody's life? What do we do when no one else is looking? How are we compromising? God's cool like that. I mean, He turns these simple situations into this beautiful reflection time. And a time in which we can go, it's God. That's why we're called out to follow You. So what is integrity anyway? Well, I am going to simplify the definition of integrity. Integrity, when your behavior matches your beliefs. When your behavior matches your beliefs. It's an integrated lifestyle. Integrated integrity into when you say, what you say lines up with what you do. That's integrity. Some said integrity is what you do when nobody else is looking. When nobody else is going to find out. And what you do in that situation is integrity. Your reputation is who other people think you are. But integrity is who you actually are. Some of us are going, uh-oh. I like my reputation better than integrity. Because I can fake that. Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright guides them. Right? You hear that? The integrity of the upright guides them. So those that have integrity are they're guided. But the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. I want us to reflect a little bit right now on the world that we live in. And I want us to think and process what actually happens. Picture athletes. There's athletes that we hold in high regard. And we think, wow, they're not only a great athlete, but they're a great person. And then we find out that they are doing things behind closed doors, and it comes out and bubbles to the surface, and we discover that they have multiple mistresses, or they have certain things that they've cheated on or done, and we go, what is that? How about politicians? They talk a good talk. And we say, that seems like a great politician. And then all of a sudden, we find out they've cheated and written up bills and put things into bills that got passed that are all sorts of compromise there. How about pastors, evangelists? Just cut right to the chase. That are speaking a good speech and talking a good talk, and it seems like they're preaching the full gospel. And then bang! Out of nowhere, we get hit by, man, they had a prostitute! And they were doing drugs! And they were doing this and that! What is going on here? It's not right! Where's the integrity? In 1 Samuel chapter 12, Samuel the prophet, this is incredible what happens here. He basically goes to the people that have known him since he was a small child. And they knew his lifestyle. They saw it live before him. They saw all the intricate details of this man, what he was like inside and out. And he stands before the crowd. And I pray that one day this will be, I'll be able to do this. And I'll be able to say what Samuel says. And basically what he says, have I lived a life of integrity? That's what he calls out. Have I lived a life of integrity? If I've wronged any of you, tell me what I did wrong and I will make it right. That's a free shot. He's giving him a free shot to say, boom, you're wrong here, 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 and here. The community looked and said, what do they say about Samuel? They said, no, you've done the right thing. You've done the right thing. You are a person of integrity. At the end of his life, at the end of his ministry, at the end of all that God had for him in his life, he stands before them and says, am I a man of integrity? Am I a man that you can look at and say, yeah, he honored God. He lived a life of integrity, and I can't find anything with his life. Man, I'm afraid of what people would say if I said that right now. Are you? Have we really been people of integrity? That when people look at our lives, they see a man or a woman who doesn't compromise, no matter what, no matter what business opportunity lies ahead, no matter what it looks like in our checkbook to skimp or to cheat. Maybe you're a student and maybe you want to go to the next level. And you know, to go to that next level, maybe you have to cheat. You know what's scary? That's what your integrity is worth to you. Maybe it was on a resume, and you sent your resume in, like we see all over the media. And you said you're a Rhodes Scholar, when in reality that was never the case. Or maybe it was something more minimal. And you said you accomplished this in a particular situation in the workforce, but you really didn't. And it didn't seem like much, but you got that job. And that's what your integrity is worth to you. Or maybe you took a ream of paper home from your workplace and you used it for your own personal use. Whoa. That's what your integrity is worth to you. Maybe it was a pencil. Oh, come on! A pencil? Come on! That's not right. Why are you trying to hurt me this morning, Kobe? We can compromise easily. All right. I kind of put some integrity in this passage, okay? Because in Psalm 15, look at what it says in the very first. It says, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Lord, who may come before you? Who may come into your house? Lord, who may actually walk in and go, here I am, God. Here I am. If we are not under God's grace, God's reward at Christ's expense, if we are not covered by grace, this incredible grace, then how can we come into a sanctuary? I'm not talking about here, okay? I'm talking about here. This is the sanctuary. This is where the Spirit of the living God dwells and reigns. The Spirit is in us. Christ is in us and we are in Him. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? What a profound, powerful, poignant question. Boy, I'm getting loud. I'll settle down. I'll settle down. I can't though. All right. He whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous. That's integrity. Whose walk is blameless, who is righteous. Who speaks the truth from his heart. That's integrity. Who speaks the truth from his heart or her heart. And has no slander on his tongue. Integrity. Who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man. Integrity. Have you slurred somebody out? Have you gossiped? Have you slandered? You're like, uh-oh, that was this morning. Who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord. Integrity. I love that part. I even wrote that in. I love that part, though. Who despises a vile man. It should disgust us to be around someone that is vile. But you know what? God's love should overflow in us, and we should be able to minister to that vile man or woman. But honors those who fear the Lord. May we honor those who fear the Lord. May we go, man, I have so much respect for you. Thank you for your integrity. Thank you for honoring God. It's ministered to me in my life. And some of us that have a husband and wife, and maybe they're not a believer, maybe we're wrestling through our own belief, maybe we're trying to figure out what life's really about, and we're like, but my spouse is a vile man. I laugh, but it's not funny, is it? There are people that have a vile spouse. No offense if you're sitting next to a spouse that's vile. Someone just got kicked. I don't know who it was, but I felt it. Oh, was it me? I pray I'm not vile, but honor those who fear the Lord. May we fear the Lord. We don't talk about the fear of the Lord anymore, do we? We talk about the love of the Lord. God loves you. He cares about you. It's true, right? God's love is profound. But do we fear God? Do we come to this place where I fear God because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and I fear God because God created me, and I am under judgment, but I am not condemned, for I am made whole because I believe and follow after Jesus. Wow. That is some wild but amazing, incredible stuff. Who lends his money without usury, and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Maybe there's some business people in here that are bribed, have received a bribe. Maybe not. Maybe you've received a bribe from a friend. I don't know. He who does these things will never be shaken. Will never be shaken. If you have integrity, what does that last passage say? He who does these things, what does it say? Will what? Never. Say it again. Will never be shaken. Ready? Will never be shaken. He who does these things will never be shaken. You'll never be shaken. If you do these things, if you follow after God, if you honor God, you'll never be shaken. Wow. Wow. It's too hard, though. I can't do it. I just can't do that. You're asking too much. Guess what? I'm not asking you. Maybe I am, but I just read that particular passage of Scripture. God is calling out to us. He's calling us by name and saying, brother, sister, son, daughter. He's saying, son, daughter, listen to my words, because, man, I want you to live a life of integrity, because it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be life-altering, life-changing. You're going to be made new. The old junk, the garbage, the debris, the past stuff, things will never be shaken in your life. And yeah, you're going to have some troubles and times of tribulation and wrestling matches with things in your life. But you'll never be shaken, because you know who is at your foundation and your base. There's four incredible things about integrity that I want to share with you. And if we're people of integrity, I'm going to start here. There's four benefits of a life of integrity. And there's so many more benefits than these four, but these are my favorite four that I picked out. So hang with me. You can walk closely with God. If you're someone of integrity, you can walk closely with God. David said, "Who can dwell in the sanctuary of God?" There's this incredible communion and fellowship that takes place. And in my household with my family, if I say to my family, "These are our family's core values, and this is what we need to abide by," you think that's going to be an effective strategy for impacting the life of my family? Okay, that was a rhetorical question. Yes, no answer, that's fine. Horrible way to deal with family relations, because we're in a relationship with family members, right? So check this out. Values. The way I instill values in my children and in my family, the context of my family, is I live the values before them. And they catch it. They catch the values. If we're not living the values before our kids, they're not going to catch integrity. They're not going to catch the values that we desire. But you know what? If my kids are falling in line and they're following after the values of our family, you want to know what happens? Something incredible happens. We discover deep fellowship and deep communion as a family. And we grow together as a family. And we form a deep bond. And something else happens. When the kids fall away from the values, you know what happens? If they decide, they choose to fall completely away from the values of our family, it begins to ruin the communion and fellowship I have with my kids. Would you agree with that? And it makes it difficult. And some of us in here are maybe grandparents or parents, and we've struggled with that because our kids have fallen away from the values of the scriptures and the values of our family that we've set in place. And we don't have the fellowship and communion that we once had. And I want to say this. It's very similar to our relationship with God. God has these incredible values. And some of us sitting in here today have fallen away from the values that God has laid out. And we're compromising our integrity, and we're not honoring God. And what's happened is we've fallen out of this incredible fellowship and communion with God. And don't get me wrong. If you believe and you're following after God, you are in this incredible communion and relationship with God. And if you've truly embraced Christ, you are in communion with God, and maybe you're going through a bump in the road. I tell you this, fall back into God's arms and say, "God, I can't do it anymore. Here I am. Take me. I can't do it. I've tried." Second thing that we discover, you'll have a built-in guide. The Bible says that the integrity of the upright guides him. You're not going to have to sit around going, this is a gray area. No, the Spirit will go, "That's black, that's white. Go ahead and move forward with what's correct here, not what's wrong." Go with what the Spirit's prompting and leading and guiding and directing. So many times we compromise because we compromise the Spirit. But you'll have a built-in guide, which is the Spirit. The Spirit will guide and lead and direct you to deeper truths. And in the midst of a very difficult decision, and maybe it's in a business transaction, maybe it's in a family issue, a family dilemma, but you'll act in integrity. And ultimately, that will honor the situation and honor God. And the third thing, you'll have a constant peace in your heart. And this is very important. Constant peace in your heart, in my heart. When I put my head on my pillow at night, don't have to worry. Don't have to be concerned. I don't have to say, what if my boss finds out? What if, oh man, what if my wife finds out what I've been looking at? Or what if my husband finds out the guy I've been flirting with at work? Or, man, what if God, oh, he already knows. God already knows. Uh-oh. We've hid it from everybody else, but God already knows. The flip side is I don't know anyone who lays their head down or lays awake at night going, oh man, I did the right thing again. What am I going to do? They're going to say I did the right thing again at work. Oh man, I did the right thing again at church. Oh, I can't sleep. Because in that family situation, I did the right thing. No. If you've done the right thing, you're going to lay your head down. If you didn't lie when you could have lied, if you didn't compromise when you could have compromised, if you didn't do whatever it is you did, because you were willing to step up even though there were consequences, God's going to honor that. And some of us sitting here right now don't even want to hear this message anymore. Because we're going, everything he's just talked about, he's talking about me. And I don't want to hear it anymore. It's too painful to reflect on those things. Well, there's a fourth thing. You gain trust, respect, honor, and influence. Did you know if you're someone of integrity, people will look at your life and they will say, you know what? I'm having a tough time right now, but I can go to such and such because they are somebody of integrity. They're someone that I can trust, that I can respect, that I can honor. And what ends up happening is because you've made decisions with integrity, you become a person of influence. And people begin to follow you. And when people begin to follow you, guess what you are? You're a leader. How do you know you're a leader? Oh, wait, back up. How do you know you're not a leader if you think you're a leader? If you look around, if you turn around and nobody's following you, guess what? You're not a leader. But if you turn around and you see people following you, guess what? You're a leader. Make sense? And maybe you have taken a leadership role somewhere and you've gained trust, you've gained respect, and you've seemingly gained honor, yet you're hiding something wicked. You like that little voice? Wicked! Because sometimes we hide things that are wicked. May we become people that are no longer hiding. The most popular game in the world, does anyone know what it is? It was the number one game in the creation of humanity. Does anyone know what it is? Hide and seek. Hide and seek. Some of you don't get the joke. Adam and Eve hid from God. They hid their privates. They hid a lot of stuff, right? They hid their sin. hid behind trees, bushes, whatever, wherever they could hide. They were ashamed. That game is still the most popular game. You can go in the heartland of, not the heartland, not of America. You can go to the heart of Africa, the heart of Asia. Little kids will be playing hide and seek. It's amazing. So often we play hide and seek with people that are close and dear to us. May we be open and honest and become people of integrity. In the Greek, there's this word that is used. And a lot of times when people talk about Christians, the people that aren't Christians that talk about Christians, they refer to people, well, I don't want to be a Christian because such and such is a, help me out here, is a what? Hypocrite. I'm not going to be a part of what this hypocrite is part of. In the Greek, what the word hypocrite means is actor, like a play actor. And if you know anything about actors, my son made this in an art class. He thought I wanted to wear it, so he put this strap. I told him, that's a cool mask, so he put this strap on. And he ripped off, he had a little stick, so he said, I'm saying, oh man, Troy, don't rip that off. And he ripped it off, this little stick here. And he said, Dad, I'll fix it. And he put the tape on. But a play actor, they would have their different roles, and they would put the mask in front of their face to play the role. And then when they changed their role, you know what they do? They'd put a different mask in front of their face. And then a different mask. Many of us sitting here right now, you know what we're doing? We have this face, and then we have this one. And then we have this one. And you know what happens? We get this one. We get this one. Right? We get all these faces. And we get all this compromise. And we start moving further and further and further away from integrity. And closer to who we don't want to be. And I want to share. I know you're all sweating because I'm sweating probably 3 times worse than you. So hang with me. Can you hang with me? All right, who's walking out? All right, good, thanks. There's this passage in Matthew. And Matthew, if you have your Bible, Matthew 23, 25 through 26 and 28, and it says this. Jesus is talking about the hypocrites. Let's hear how Jesus talks about hypocrites. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees and hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside, they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. You hear how Jesus talks about hypocrites? I would say most of us sitting here would go, oh man, I got to get up and walk out right now. Because I fall right into that category. I hope that most of us wouldn't, but I think a lot of us, I would say every single one of us at one time or another in our lives have fallen into the deep waters of hypocrisy and compromise. And yeah, when people say, I don't want to be like such and such because he's a hypocrite or she's a hypocrite, we can look back and go, you know, they were right. But man, from this day forward, may I move forward with a clean cup on the inside and a clean plate on the inside. The reason why he talks about that, because it was ceremonially cleansing and cleaning of the cup and the plate. And that's what Jesus was referring to, because the Pharisees were clean and have a nice clean plate. And he was talking about themselves, their own human being self, that, yeah, on the outside they looked all good and holy and righteous, but on the inside they were there was hypocrisy and wickedness. And man, may the fire of the Holy Spirit fall upon us and refine us and allow us to be people that walk in integrity and live lives of integrity and have children that walk in integrity and grandchildren that walk in integrity and spiritual children that walk in integrity. And may our hearts be ones that are searching and desiring integrity first and foremost before anything. Well, first God, right? But when we find and discover God, what happens is integrity begins to overflow, because we begin to realize that, you know what? There is not a gray area. And I have a lot of friends that would say, that's too black and white. You're too black and white. There is a gray area. Sometimes there is, but when it comes to integrity, I wouldn't even say there's a fine line. There's a integrity, no integrity. Do you think there's medium integrity? Do you think there's a medium lie, a white lie? No, a lie is a lie. Integrity is integrity. You either have integrity or you don't. Oh man, you're scaring me. You're scaring me. Stop preaching. I'm almost done. I will stop. What is your integrity worth? We already talked about that. It may be worth a ream of paper. Maybe worth a pencil. So if you've fallen out of integrity, if you don't feel like you have integrity, get to know Jesus. Get to know Jesus. Read the scriptures. Talk to people in the community of faith. Get to know Jesus. And if you see someone that you think has integrity, go up to them and say, "Man, I need your help. Can you help me discover integrity in my life? I want to live like you, but really, I really want to live like Jesus. And it looks like you're living like Jesus, and I want to learn what that looks like." And then, go and apologize and repent to those around you that you've hurt and harmed due to lack of integrity. That's hard. That is very, very, very difficult. But I want to tell you, be prayerful before you go to that person. And they may still be angry with you, but it can do profound, powerful things in the context of your spiritual walk with God. And it can do profound, powerful things for that other person. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we come to you. Some of us are truly wrestling with integrity issues. God, others of us are trying to figure out what integrity really looks like in our life. And Father, Lord, I ask that your Spirit will come and purify us. Lord, if there's someone in here that doesn't know you, God, I ask, Lord, that they will discover you deeply and profoundly in their life, even right now, Lord. Father, allow them to embrace you as Lord and Savior of their lives. And God, purify them and purify us. And God, all of us, Lord, allow us to be people that aren't willing to compromise our integrity for whatever it is, God. Because just like Job, Lord, Job found himself in ashes. His entire family, with the exception of his wife, was annihilated. And Satan was testing him, Lord. And Father, he sat in the ashes, and his wife even came up to him and said, "Job, why don't you just curse God and die?" His own wife and his friends came to him, and yeah, they sat with him for a while, but God, we know what happened in the scriptures, Lord. They told him that he must not have integrity. He must be a sinful man because of all this stuff that happened to him. God, there's all sorts of stuff that happened to us in this life, Lord. And some of it's horrible and wicked, and we don't understand it, and it's confusing. But God, we get tested, Lord. And some of us feel like it's beyond what we can take, and then we compromise integrity. God, I ask, Lord, that when we come to that point of possibly compromising our integrity, God, I ask, Lord, that your spirit will overflow in us and we'll become prayerful. And Lord, that we will not compromise and we will honor you. God, may we be a community of faith that honors you. May we honor you with our lifestyles, Lord. Father, may we honor you in community, and may we honor you when we're by ourselves, God. When nobody else is looking, may we be people of integrity. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.